Well, will you take your Bibles out? We're going to look at a number of different scriptures tonight. We're going to start in Psalm chapter 50. Psalm 50. And we're going to talk about worshipers tonight. I don't want to lose my pick. You never know when you're going to need a pick, right? All right. Psalm chapter 50. Beginning in verse 15 itself. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me. The word honor there is synonymous with the words that we've been looking at over the last few weeks of worship. See, when you see God like He really is, you just have to worship Him. And when He proclaims this to the people, He's saying, listen, I want you to understand who I really am. Again, how we picture God makes all the difference in how we serve Him. We just see Him as some celestial being that's kind of watching over the affairs of man. There won't be any worship in our heart towards Him. But if we see Him like He really is, the one who has made us, the one who's prepared a way for us, the one who paid the price for us, we can't help but worship Him. So I want us to see, first of all, what the goal of worship is. When He says, call on me in the day of trouble, the word trouble there means any issues that you're going through. It doesn't necessarily mean you might be sad, you might be anxious, you might be going through a struggle at work or whatever it is. But He says, call on me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Now, that sounds pretty positive to me. It sounds like He's making a statement to us that we can count on. You know, a lot of people talk about the promises of God. I just talk about the statements of God because everything God says He's going to do, He does it. It doesn't matter if you call it a promise or not. When He says it, it's done. So the goal in worship is to be able to see Him like He really is. Not just talking about Him. It's literally communing with Him. Some of the best times you probably had in your life is sitting around a table or sitting in an area with a group of people that maybe you're kin to or they're really close to you, great friends or whatever, and you just commune with each other. You just talk and you experience a fellowship amongst yourselves. God is wanting us to be able to commune with Him, not just talk about Him. And we ought to talk about Him and we should tell other people about Him. But He wants us to talk to Him. Not just about Him. He wants us to talk to Him and be in His presence and commune with Him. It's coming into His presence. Now, the difference in the Old Testament is that the people had to look at God from afar. They saw the pillar of fire. They saw the pillar of cloud. They knew that He was in the presence, in their presence, but they were not able to go in where He was. Until the day Jesus died on the cross. And the veil in the temple was torn. And God welcomes anyone to come in. It's coming into His presence. And when we come into His presence, when we're talking about worship, when we come into His presence, saying that, I don't really even deserve to be here. I don't deserve to be in the presence of God, but He has welcomed me in. And so when I come in, what should I do? I should honor Him. I should revere Him. I should lift Him up as He deserves to be. I think what we think about worship, and let me just take a little side journey here for just a moment. You know, I've seen videos of thousands of people in a stadium or whatever else worshiping God through singing to Him, and many of them are lifting their hands and all that. And there's a tendency, now I'm not saying that's bad, but there's a tendency to get caught up in the presence of the people you're around and feel like you got to do what they're doing. And it can become like a mass of people saying, let's do what everybody else is doing. God's not interested in that. I mean, it may sound great and it may look pretty awesome. What God is interested in is the individual heart of every single one of us. And He wants to know that we really are focusing on Him and lifting Him up and revering Him because He deserves that. And that should be the goal in our worship, to lift Him up. Glorify Him. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify Me, He says. Then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, we see the result of that kind of worship. We are to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. In other words, when God is lifted up in our lives, we will be the kind of people, and it doesn't necessarily, you got to sing to somebody else. Doesn't necessarily mean that. It's okay if you do. But what it does mean is you ought to be so joyful in your heart that you can't hold in what God is doing in your life. Does that make sense? What God is doing in your life, you got to tell somebody about it. You got to share it with somebody else. We are not to, you know, to come together, as we call it, worship, to leave me feeling pleased. In fact, I may come to worship and leave feeling convicted. Right? So we don't gather together so we can have our worship experience. We gather together to experience Him. And when we do, we worship Him. And that kind of worship pleases Him. We are not the audience, He is. He is watching us. As we gather together, He is watching us. And He's watching to see, is our attention on Him? Or is our attention on the people around us? Or the people playing instruments? Or the people singing? Where is our interest? Where is our focus? It shouldn't be on them. It shouldn't be on us. It should be on Him. Him alone. And when that happens, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 calls it a fragrant offering. Now, there's different kinds of offerings that were given. There was an offering of incense, and they would burn the incense, and it would smell good, and it would be a pleasing aroma, and it was a picture of the prayers going up to God. But there was also offerings that were burnt animals, and they don't smell so good. But what God sees when we honor Him and worship Him and exalt Him like He deserves, glorify Him, what God sees is what it says in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Follow His example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in a way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Now, you might say, well, what does that have to do with it? It has everything to do with it, because what Christ did is He even modeled how we are to worship God by giving ourselves up for Him. You see, it means emptying ourselves out so that He can fill us up with Him. And I don't know about you, but there's a lot of times I have a hard time emptying myself out. But when I do, it pleases Him and it honors Him, and it's like a fragrant offering that's lifted up to Him. If you've got your Bibles there, turn back to Psalm 27. Now, that's not on your handout, but it's just a little extra bonus I'm giving tonight. Psalm 27. And David writes this, even as there's an army attacking, he writes this, the Lord is my light, He's my salvation. whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though a war break out against me, even then will I be confident. Now, is he confident because the army of Israel was so powerful that nobody could defeat them? No. That's not why he was confident at all. He goes on to say why he was. This is the one thing I ask of the Lord, not for more men to stand on the wall, not for more people to carry more ammunition. He said, this is one thing, the one thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple, because in the day of trouble, he's going to keep me safe in his dwelling. He's going to hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle. He's going to set me high upon a rock, and my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. And at his tabernacle, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy, and I will what? Sing and make music to the Lord. Why? Because it's not about David. It's not about the army of Israel. It's about the Lord of Israel. It's about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thirdly, the focus of worship. It's not on the worshipers. It's not on us. We already mentioned that once. But it's on him alone. He's the only one that should be high and lifted up. He is what the Scripture calls preeminent. No one above him. There's none as righteous and holy as God. There is none that deserves our worship and our praise except for him. He deserves to be lifted up and exalted. We need to focus on him. As I get older, I start realizing that it's a little easier to read things if I put on these little readers. I don't know why. Just because I'm older, I guess. But man, I mean, it's so much easier when I just put on these 1.0 readers. I put them on and boom, I can see everything. It's crazy. But it brings it into focus. When I look through the spiritual eyes that God is giving me, I can see him like he really is. I just want to be in his presence. I want to gaze upon his beauty, as David says. I just want to be there with him. Because in that place, I'm reminded of who he is. The pathway to worship. It's not if the music and message are good. That's not when I worship. I mean, we like the music to be good. We'd like the message to be good. But that's not why I worship. I worship him. The scripture says in John, it says to worship him in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? To worship him in spirit and in truth. Quite literally, it means to get me out of the way. I have to worship him with myself out of the way in spirit, which the Holy Spirit helps me to do that, and in truth of realizing that he's God and I'm not. Right? So that's how I worship him, or that's how I should worship him. Both spirit and truth. It's what's in the heart that really matters. You see, you can say all the right things. You can sing all the right things. You can look the right way. You can dress the right way. You can do all those things, but it's not really all those things at all. It's what's in your heart that matters. What's in my heart that matters. And God alone knows what's in my heart. God alone knows what's in your heart. And he's not looking at what you do. He's looking at who we are. Amen? The preparation for worship. It's not just in church, by the way. We ought to be worshiping all day long. All day long. Even when we're doing things we don't want to do. In fact, especially when we do doing things we don't want to do. I mean, think about what Jesus did. He counted it joy to face the cross. And how's that possible? Because he knew what he was supposed to do. And he did it. No matter what. It's in every day, all day long. Now, I think that's probably the crux of our whole issue sometimes. Is yes, I want to worship God, and I want to see him like he really is. But I mean, we're like, movie that came out quite a few years ago now called Up. And there was this dog, you know, there's, you know, we get sidetracked so quickly. You know, we might be focused on God for a moment, but all of a sudden something catches our attention and draws us away from him. And before long, we're off in left field chasing a rabbit. Psalm 35, verse 28 says that we ought to be experiencing him. My tongue will proclaim your righteousness, your praises, all day long. All day long. In other words, I'm not going to stop talking about you. I'm not going to stop telling how great you are. I'm not going to stop. I'm just going to continue to do that. You might be one of those people that people start talking about. That's all he's talking about. He's talking to himself. He's talking. So, I'm talking to God. Now, I heard this statement one time, and I had to put it in here. Most worshipers have spiritual dry heaves because they're trying to bring up something that isn't there. Does that make sense? Yeah. In fact, there are a lot of people who think that that's what you do. Is you get worked up in a spiritual fervor so that somehow you can have some kind of a worship experience with God. It's not that. So I hope none of us have spiritual dry heaves. I don't hope we have none of the kinds of dry heaves, by the way. Although that's better than actually having the heaves for me. Yeah. Lastly, the passion for worship. It's not if I feel like it or if there's a crowd around me. It's not based on anything else other than this. I just want to be in your presence, God. The one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. I want to be in his presence. I'm willing to worship even if I'm the only one. Are you willing to worship God all day, every day? That's what worshipers do. They worship God all day, every day. You remember David was leading his army back to Jerusalem one day. And they were weary and tired from battle. And there was a guy who came up beside them and began cursing them. And specifically cursing David. And picking up dirt clods and throwing them at him. And all the rest of the soldiers. And they'd had it. They were about ready to lop his head off. David said, no, don't do that. Maybe I'm getting what I need right now. Now, what does that mean? It means no matter what the circumstances are that we're in, God is always trying to get our attention off of ourselves and off the circumstances and on him. And I have to be reminded of that all the time. Because it's so easy to get sidetracked. It's so easy to get my heart and my mind on me or on things that I'm doing or on the things around me. And it's not that we shouldn't see things, and it's not that we shouldn't see people, and it's not, I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is, when our focus is on the right place, God Himself, when our hearts are poured out towards Him, He will direct us to the right place. And that's why that passage this morning that I used in our devotional, seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and all the other things will be added to you as well. And we'll be doing what He wants us to do rather than what we want to do, even though it might be something good. We'll be doing what He wants. And when we do what He wants, it brings Him glory, it brings Him honor, it lifts Him up, it exalts Him, and we truly worship Him at that point. So it's not how well you sing or don't sing. It's not how, it's none of that. What it is all our heart. God sees our heart. He sees my heart. Lord, I just want to worship You. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord. We thank You for what You've done. We thank You for Emmanuel, God with us. We thank You that You showed Your love to us through Jesus. We thank You, Lord, that You prepared the way for us. We thank You, Lord, that You paid the price for us. We thank You, Lord, that You want to have a relationship with us. And that You've even adopted us as Yours. Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed on You, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. Help us to remember that our worship is not necessarily, it can be what we sing, can be what we say, but our worship is not just that. It's our heart that's attuned to the heart of God. Help us to abide in You. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.